You want to achieve great things? You want to reach the next level? Well, so does every other entrepreneur. You know what that means? You have to take every competitive advantage possible. Welcome to Let's Talk Business, the show where we're going to show you how to create this competitive advantage by being more productive and sharing the secrets of the world's top performers. I'm your host, Kenny Aronson, and I think it's time to get down to business. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing you guys to Michael Colley. Michael has extensive experience with over 15 years as a chef under his belt. He also has experience in operating successful restaurants and cafes, and now he is even working on his own clothing label. Michael's goal is to help others build their own brands and businesses, and I am excited to see exactly what we can learn from him today. So without any further ado, let's give Michael a warm welcome. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you doing today?
Hey, Kenneth. I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. You know, I very much look forward to speaking with you today and learning from you. And, you know, so where are you calling from?
We are out in Sydney, Australia.
Awesome. How is it over there?
It is very, very warm.
Yeah, it's starting to get pretty cold over here. It's that time of the year where everything starts freezing and snowing. But, you know, I can't complain. It could be worse. At least it's not Antarctica, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so what I try to do with the show is I try to keep things pretty natural, pretty easygoing. So I always start with the same question, and it's just a way to let the audience get to know you just a little bit better. So, Michael, why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to in the world?
Okay, so... as I said, we're based in Sydney. At the moment, I'm just working, hustling, trying to make some money, as it is, you know how. I'm just working as a chef at the moment, have run a few kitchens in my time, built a few, I guess, kitchen operating systems to make things easier. And we're also working on a food bloggers kind of platform on Instagram, and we're building... uniquest clothing as well. So we got a lot of fun stuff happening.
That's very awesome. So how did you get into all these industries, such as your time as a chef?
So I started out as a chef like everyone does, I guess, as an apprentice so many years ago now, and just learned the craft, I guess, hopped around a bit and learned what I could, and got into a management role where I was running a kitchen for a little while, and that was pretty massive for me, for a bit of just to learning leadership and management, and to go further than that, where it wasn't just about delegation and dictatorship, but where I guess you have a responsibility to build other people and to be responsible for creating that environment. That was a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty big. Do you have any stories you'd like to share with your time as a chef and a restaurant operator?
Definitely. I think one of the things that's most important is that you create the right environment, because in my game, in the hospitality industry, it can be very, I guess it's a race to the top, if that makes sense. It's very egotistical, so the further you go, the more you can stroke your own ego, mm-hmm. and the better you look to yourself in the mirror. But I found that the higher you go, the more you should be pulling people up, the more you should be making a difference. Mm-hmm. The less it becomes about you, and the more it becomes about your team. And I've found in the industry that we should be creating team environments. We should be lifting people up. And we shouldn't be dictating, for lack of a better word.
So how far up did you get in the industry in your area?
Okay, so I was, for the past couple of years, I've kind of stepped back a bit now. A couple of years ago, I was running a kitchen and helping to build a cafe for about 6 years. We created systems so it kind of ran without anyone having to run it, because we kind of created, I guess, what you would look at as McDonald's, so standard operating procedures, and just tried to make it easy for everyone else.
Awesome. Was your goal to turn it into a franchise?
There was a lot of talk of turning it into a franchise. I'm no longer working with that company, and I'm not sure what their current goals are at the moment.
Okay. So what restaurant are you working at right now?
At the moment, I am working in a place called Tractor 828. It could potentially become a destination.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a lot of hype around it.
What kind of food do you guys serve?
It is just standard Australian kind of brunch food, so it's predominantly daytimes. It's set out in the country,
mm-hmm.
So it's really rustic, big tables, trees. It's like there's animals everywhere, farms everywhere. It's really cool, lots of acreage.
It sounds awesome. So what's your favorite dish to make?
Great question. I don't really have a favorite dish. I like to keep it interesting. I like to keep moving. And for me, I like to keep learning. So the more we learn, I guess the more we feel empowered.
So I want to talk a little bit about kind of your operations and the restaurants and the systems you've created. What do you think are some important keys for making a successful business or a system within that business?
I think one of the biggest things is it has to be tested and tested and tested and tested. And I guess you have to have that flexibility in order to go through that process. And I think you need to get your team involved. Your team needs to be involved in building your system, because then they own it just as much. If we create a system and just hand it out,
mm-hmm.
then we created it. If we create a system as a team, then we all hand it out together.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how long did it typically take you from the idea for the system to where it's actually working? How long would it typically take you to get through that process?
Oh, it's massive. Timelines, I couldn't tell you. I would say for it to be running by itself 12 months, you've done it and you don't have to do anymore. But with that, I guess as you always have to. So I guess you're always testing it. You're always just tweaking the smallest little edges where you go, well, we didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. It sounds like a lot of work, but would you say that it's really worth it going through that process for, you know, whether it's a restaurant or any other type of business?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's one of the fastest ways to replace yourself, which I think that if you're going into business, you should be looking to get out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Like that's something that I'm always considering with the things that I'm doing. But so what are some of these successful systems that you've put in place? Would you be able to share any of these?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're down to the smallest, I guess, denominators within the industry, we would create. So ordering systems, we would create from menus, we would break it down to where we could order from different suppliers. We would create levels so that anyone could do the ordering. And I guess we would just streamline the whole thing from one end to the other just to make it. How do we make this sauce? It's in the book, right? So just read the book, and I guess the only real problem you have is if you can't read.
And oh, yeah, that's true.
I guess we just need to systemize that too.
You got to make a system for every single part. So you got to teach people to read, then you got to teach people to, you know, sit down and read the book, and then, you know, that's how you're going to make it work. Let's start off with this question. What's the most important lesson that you've learned?
Create a culture. In an establishment where we've built systems, and just in places where I've just worked, or just in places where I guess you go out and where everyone goes out,
mm-hmm.
you create a culture where people want to be there. You can walk into a room and you can go, something's not right here, but you don't know what it is. And it's quite possibly the vibe or the culture of the environment itself. And I think creating a good culture where the staff want to be is where the customers want to be.
Okay, that makes sense. So do you have any examples of, you know, maybe bad cultures that you've experienced in your time?
100%. I find that for starters, the culture runs from the top to the bottom, not mm-hmm. the other way around. And I find that the culture is, I guess, if you're whinging about your staff to your staff, then your staff are whinging about staff to their staff. And so you're just creating a negative. That there's no trust.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's no trust, people, there's no clarity, and people just become unsure. And so I guess the way that I see it is that you've actually created a culture where people don't know what they're doing and they're unsure because they're not communicated to. Instead, they're bitched about, if I can say that, or whinged about to other staff. So you've actually created a culture where people don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen. So let's say that we have a new CEO or a professional out there, someone who's managing an organization. Do you have any kind of techniques or advice for these people to make a strong culture for their company?
Yeah, do unto others. I guess if you want an environment that's healthy, then create an environment that's healthy. If you don't want people to whinge behind your back, then do it to them and create a place where it's open. People can say, hey, we're having this issue. How can we address it? Let's just communicate more. Say, these are things that we're dealing with. How do we address it? How do we delegate better? How do we communicate better to our staff so that they actually feel involved and they feel like they're a part of it? And more than that, get a book and read and say, hey, how do I become a better culture developer? How do I become better at understanding how these people work? I actually read an amazing book the other day on it, and I can't even remember what it is for the life of me.
Oh, man, that's what I was about to ask you. I was about to ask
I can't even remember what it's called. I'm just trying to think of it now. Sorry. If I think of it, I'll come back.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Do you have any other – well, what's kind of the culture like in your business? Is that pretty much like the way you run it, you know, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself? Is that pretty much how things are ran?
We try and communicate as much as we can when we can.
I want to ask something a little bit, you know, specific for the restaurant industry. What's some kind of experience or thing that you've learned, you know, during your time in that industry that people might not expect?
What have I learned in the industry that people might not expect?
It's a curveball.
It's good. I would say that chefs have egos, like really big egos, but I'm pretty sure that the team has illustrated that.
I could see that. Do you have any specific stories of, you know, where you've kind of encountered that?
The faster I went up the ladder, the better I thought I was. And when you think you're better than everyone else, you eventually become very humbled. Life humbles you.
What happened?
The universe or the creator has ways of humbling you where you're not as good as you think you are.
What happened to you, Michael?
So we just went through some different changes, tried to help a few different businesses, tried to buy some different businesses, and things didn't work out. And a lot of it was, I think now looking back, a lot of it was my own ego. A lot of it was just you need to be humbled and be more grateful for what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you never know what's going to happen. So how fast did you climb up the culinary ladder? I don't know if that's what you call it, but that's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, cool. So I went from an apprentice to a head chef in about 3 years.
Is that pretty fast for that industry? I don't know what the time is like over there.
I would think it was fast when I first started out running a kitchen and helping to build cafes. I guess I was kind of really out of my depth, but because I knew I really wanted to do it, I learned fast and adapted quickly. And it's good when you got good people to work with too.
That's good. That's good. So do you guys have culinary schools over there in Australia?
Yeah, we definitely do. They do an awesome job as well.
Okay, awesome.
Some of them are government ran, some of them are private companies. So yeah, definitely do.
Yeah, I was asking because I was going to ask you this question because my girlfriend, you know, she's 20 years old right now and she wants to get into the culinary industry and she wants to eventually own her own restaurant. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, would you recommend people in a situation like her situation to go to culinary school, or would you give them other advice?
Yes, I recommend you go to culinary school. No, I don't recommend you go to culinary school. I would say both. Just for the knowledge, yes, I think you should go, unless you can find another way to do it. But I guess you get the skills and you get the piece of paper. Because we have over here a program called MasterChef. Do you guys have that over there?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look into it. I'd have to ask her.
Yeah, okay. And MasterChef is kind of like they have celebrity chefs, for lack of a better word or terminology. And MasterChef is kind of like a quick apprenticeship, but it's intense. And they also turn it into a TV show, so...
Wait, I do think we have that over here, yeah. I thought it was like, I know we have the TV show, but you know, how do you even get on that show? That's what I'm wondering.
I have no idea. People like me aren't allowed on that show.
I mean, are there any other like possibilities that you could get your feet kind of into the space?
Yeah, definitely. Just start in the industry. Start wherever you have to start. I actually know of a guy who does not have any culinary certificates, qualifications, and he is a restaurant manager. Great guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, knows the ins and outs, but also he has worked for some good people and with some good people. So I guess they've mentored him and mentored him into a position where he's kind of, to a degree, running his own show under somebody else's money.
Okay, that makes sense. So I know earlier you said that you went through an apprenticeship. Did you also go to culinary school as well?
Yeah, so here in Australia, they're connected. So
oh,
in
they
order
are,
for you to do an apprenticeship, they send you through it.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it is over here. We definitely have to look more into it, but I do appreciate your advice. And as like she goes into the future, do you have any advice for, you know, as she starts to, you know, get her skills out there and maybe eventually own her own restaurant? What would you advise her to do?
Do whatever it takes, whatever it costs you. I would say get around different people and get into different places because everywhere does things differently.
Okay, thank you. I greatly appreciate the advice. And I know that she'll take that with her as well. And so I want to talk a little bit more about kind of the business side of things. So have there been, you know, any more, you know, important things or keys to finding success in your restaurants or your business or the any other kinds of brands that you've created?
Yeah, be flexible. That's kind of been painful. When we started building the clothing label, Uniqus Clothing, I was working a full-time job and building the brand on, I guess, after hours. So I was building the brand at night and we built it from nothing. Literally, I kind of just worked it out along the way. And I've kind of worked out that my mind works that way. I can just... Yeah, it was a good experience.
I think it's good that you can do that, though. So what kind of brought you into starting... Is it pronounced Uniqus Clothing?
It's Uniqus. So it's the combination of the word unique and greatest. So we just pull them together and call it Uniqus.
I like that name. That's really cool. So what kind of, you know, got you into that?
Uniqus Clothing was something that I wanted to start when I was a kid. So I was like 16, 17, like really young. And it was something I wanted to do, but I had no idea how to do it. So in my journey, this is all going to connect now. I'd climb the ladder in the hospitality industry, in the culinary industry, and I was looking for something else. So I guess I'd gotten bored.
Mm-hmm.
So helped build some cafes, seen a lot of growth. And I wanted something else, and I couldn't find it, and I actually packed up and moved up the coast in Australia onto the mid-north coast, and we just relaxed for a little bit. And while I was there, I'm like, we should start something else. And so we did. I just went, hey, I wanted to do this, so we just did it.
So how's your experience been with starting Uniqus Clothing so far?
At the moment, I find that that fashion is a massively flooded market in the world. Everyone has a brand, and if they don't, their best friend has one. So it makes it very difficult. But building it from the start was the fun stuff, building it from nothing and kind of just going, what do we do next? Like, what's the next step for us? And connecting it all. And honestly, I did a lot of it through social media and didn't realize what I was doing until I'd done it.
So what kind of things did you do with social media?
So we have suppliers, or manufacturers, sorry, should I say, we have manufacturers on the other side of the world that I found through using social media. And so we still constantly get hit up by different manufacturers, but we have found that it's easier and more financially beneficial to print overseas and ship it to Australia than it is to get it made in Australia.
That makes sense. That's kind of how it is over here. So where are you getting it printed at?
We are based in Indonesia.
Okay, very cool. So what kind of, like, what's the brand for Uniqus? What kind of stuff do you guys make?
We have, there's a t-shirt right behind me. We do t-shirts.
Awesome.
We do backpacks. At the moment, we're just designing a few more designs for t-shirts. We're probably going to leave snapbacks at the moment and possibly do some
That's awesome. I can't wait to see how it works out for you. And, talking about brand, I kind of want to go into branding a little bit. So, Michael, how do we create, recognizable and powerful brands? What advice would you give for anyone out there who wants to do that, for creating their own brand?
That's a great question. I personally am still learning that myself.
What have you learned so far?
I would say, again, you need to be flexible. Just to, I guess, if it doesn't work, keep moving. I have another friend who he has a clothing brand as well here in Australia, and his brand actually has about six different faces that he uses as the main design, based on what industry he's trying to get into, but they all incorporate into the same arena. And that was something I didn't actually think of. And he goes, maybe you should think about looking at your brand and the way that it's designed. So the design of the logos or the design of the templates and playing with them just to manipulate the market a little bit more to get out to more people. So yeah, it's ever evolving and we're ever learning. I think we are coming into a time now where branding is second nature to building a personal brand. And that's just my opinion. I think that you can build a personal brand now and create brands off it. So we could create you as a brand, as Kenneth, and then create products from that and on sell them that way. I tend to think that there's a bit of a move into personal branding from business branding, where it can now transition from the personal brand to the brand. But that's just my thoughts on it. I'm not sure how accurate that
You
is.
know, I've seen that as well. Like, that's something I've kind of been experimenting with, and I'm gonna, for, because I put out a lot of content, like on the podcast, on YouTube, on Instagram, and all these, like, 1,000 other social media channels. And I think it's something that's really interesting. And it shows that in branding, marketing, all these different things are extremely important. And I do like how it all kind of connects together, and like kind of how you connected, unique clothing, like what you wanted to do as a kid, with your experience that you've gotten in the industry so far. So I do think that's really cool. And I think that, branding and personal branding, it is something that's super interesting that social media kind of allows, because people really want to follow and buy from people instead of just like businesses or things such as that. Not that businesses are a bad thing, of course. I'm definitely not saying that, but it's just an interesting kind of shift. And, we'll see kind of how it evolves in the future. So I want to talk about kind of what you want to do with Uniquest Clothing. So, what are your goals? Where do you want to take the business?
I see Uniquest Clothing actually as an off-brand to me building a personal brand. So Uniquest Clothing, when I started, I just wanted to get something off the ground. And now, 2 years, 18 months to 2 years later, I see it as a byproduct of possibly creating something else. So the undertone of Uniquest Clothing is that you would become the greatest form of yourself. So you would become the uniquest or the greatest form of your unique self. As far as we want to take it, we now see that Uniquest Clothing will become a product in relation to that. So we may look at doing similar things to this podcasting and other things in the future. It's still something that personally I'm working on, but there could be a lot to come. It's still just half an idea, half a concept, something that we're still working on. I hope that
That's
answers
awesome.
your
I love those
question.
plans. I gotta say that I love kind of the central message of, becoming the best possible version of yourself, because, that's kind of the whole central message for the Da Vinci Mindset podcast and pretty much everything else that I'm doing, all the content and things. So, you definitely got my respect for that, and my support for doing what you guys are doing. I think that's great. So, have you guys started doing anything with your podcasting idea? I know you said it's just a concept right now, but what are your kind of thoughts for doing that? How would you like to do things?
We would like to do a bit of, I guess, a kind of leadership kind of podcast. It's still a bit of a work. We actually have a meeting later on today. We're looking to create, again, a bit of a leadership kind of, just some content that we can put out on leadership, on creating culture, on helping other people become the greatest form of themselves.
Anything that helps people to really become their best self, you know, that's what I'm all about. That's what I really want to help people do. And I think that's awesome. And, you know, that's something that people really need to do, especially if they're young professionals or entrepreneurs, is becoming, you know, their best self is, and that comes from learning and growing every day. And there's a lot of young entrepreneurs and professionals out there, whether they want to start a business or a career or, you know, whatever it is, there's so many opportunities out there. But do you have any advice that you would like to give these people with all your years of experience in building businesses and your professional development?
Yeah, keep learning. Keep reading. Things change so quickly now, like, we don't, like, I guess if we're not learning, then we're not moving forward. And I guess that if we're not learning and we're not moving forward, then we either stay still. And if the world keeps moving, then maybe we're going backwards.
I totally agree. You know, I found that.
Yeah, I would say.
I love that. Yeah. Everyone who's like really satisfied with life and, you know, achieving great things, they're learning every day. And I think it's awesome. That's kind of the message that I want to get out there. And I love that you're kind of doing the same. It's awesome. Yeah. So Michael, I want to ask, as we start to wrap things up, because I don't want to take up too much of your time today. One of the things that I do for the show is, you know, as things start to wrap together and come towards an end, I typically ask my guests, you know, one kind of question just to make sure that the audience is left with at least one thing to take away. And I know that if they're listening to the episode, they'll definitely take away more than one thing. But Michael, if you could only leave the audience with one piece of actionable advice, what would it be for you?
Yeah, well, back yourself, I would say.
What do you mean?
I would say just believe in yourself. If Uniqus Clothing for me was a dream when I was 17, and it wasn't until I got frustrated and bored that it became more than that. Believe in yourself, back yourself. No one else can do what you were born to do, so you do you. Don't worry about everybody else.
Okay, awesome. I love that.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's all about, you know,
believing. Let the critics speak.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. A couple more questions I want to ask. I know we were kind of wrapping things up, but the question I wanted to ask came back to my mind, and I want to make sure that, you know, I kind of satisfy that question. So, you know, it's been a long time since you had the idea to start Uniqus, the clothing brand. So what kind of, you know, brought the idea back to your mind when you moved back to when you moved around in Australia? Like, what kind of, you know, made you grab that opportunity?
I said to myself, what else can we do? So I would say to myself, how else can we not get bored? How else can we can we do something else? I guess when you've been doing one thing for so long, you kind of you just start searching for stuff. And as I would say that to myself, I would talk to my wife and I go, let's just do it. We did.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Still growing slowly, but 100%. The worst thing that could happen, you probably lose a lot of money. But if you wake up tomorrow, you can go and make more money. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess all you've done is just learn.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Michael, so it was a great pleasure to talk to you today. And, you know, I hope that the audience learned a lot. You know, I certainly learned a lot as well. And if they want to learn more about what you're up to with Uniqus Clothing and everything else, where could they find you at?
You can find us on Facebook at Uniqus Clothing. That's UNEKST Clothing. We're on Instagram, Uniqus, UNEKST.clothing. I'm on all the platforms, so I can be found on all those. Just look for the guy with no hair and a beard. In a Uniqus Clothing t-shirt.
I'll make sure to put all the links to Uniqus Clothing and all the social media profiles in the description for the podcast episode below, in the blog, wherever you're listening to this at, you'll find the links on the page that you're at. And Michael, I just want to say thank you for joining me in the episode today. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Kenneth. I appreciate you taking the time out. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, it was great to speak with you as well. I'll definitely have to speak with you again in the future. We'll keep in contact. So to the listeners out there, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I learned a ton and know that you guys probably learned even more than me. So thank you for speaking with me again to Michael today. And to the listeners out there, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. And until next time, we will catch you on the next episode of the Da Vinci Mindset Podcast.